God's grace and peace to you, Easter people, from the risen Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, what a week of weather we've had, huh? 1 minute it's raining, and then it's hailing, and then it's snowing, and then the sun is out, and the clouds are stunning against our beautiful Colorado blue sky. So, well, if you don't like it, just wait 5 minutes, right? Besides erratic weather, what comes with spring is those flowers and bulbs pushing up out of the dark earth. Seemingly dead, but having come to life, their tiny petals ready to burst open in the glory of their colors and pistils and stamen, their beauty only reflecting the gorgeousness of God who created them. And we say, oh, they look so pretty, or oh, they smell so good. And so back to Genesis we go. The Lord God created the flowers and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, and God saw that all God had created was very, very good. God put Adam and Eve in a garden, the first human beings there in a place of beauty. And what started in a garden continued in a garden centuries later when Jesus was arrested. Do you remember where he was arrested? In a garden. Think of that irony. The God of life on earth and life eternal arrested in such a place of beauty. And then we get to the resurrection story, and where does Mary find Jesus? She mistakes him for the gardener because they're in a garden. That's in John's gospel. And in Matthew's gospel, there's this major earthquake. I mean, all of creation cannot help but just break open with joy at the risen Christ. The universe itself is unequivocally connected to a creator God. And so this inbreaking of the risen Christ brings new life, not only to humanity, but to creation itself. So it's no surprise, is it, that Jesus appears in something that comes directly from creation, but bread? Well, of course, it's no surprise to us because we know the end of the story. For Cleopas and his host, it was just an ordinary loaf. Maybe it was barley, maybe it was wheat, harvested right there from the local area, formed into a loaf, baked on a hot stone, ready to serve. It was just ordinary bread. It wasn't the conversation on the road, all 7 miles of it. It wasn't the verses from the Hebrew scriptures that they would have already known. It wasn't his voice or his walk or his face. It was the breaking of the bread. And that instant helped them to see who Christ was. He lifted up that loaf and prayed over it. God, we give you thanks. From your very hands comes our nourishment and sustainment. And it's Jesus. It was Jesus. They rejoiced. For Martin Luther, God's word, capital W, was that primordial word that brought life from nothing. Let there be heavens, let there be seas. God's word brings life where there had been no life. And it wasn't only the birds and the bees, it was you and me too, right? God's word included giving us senses to taste and see and touch and smell and hear everything of God's created world. And then this creative word became flesh dwelling among us. God's created word in Jesus brings life where there had been no life, raising Lazarus, the dead, from the tomb. God's created word in Jesus made chaotic places like the rough places, that rough waters of the lake, as calm as glass. God's created word in Jesus brings life to hungry bellies. Do you remember the feeding of the 5,000? So in that moment, perhaps it was like deja vu. They remembered the feeding of the 5,000 when Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish, lifted them up to heaven, blessed them, broke them, and they were fed. But this time, the disciples were not broken open in sadness because of his death. They were broken open in joy because indeed he really was alive. It was that moment. I want you to think about a moment, an instant in your life when you knew the indwelling of Christ in a very tangible way. Maybe it was that moment that you knew that he was the one you were going to marry, and only God could have brought him into your life. Maybe it was that instant when you looked into the crib and understood that your heart had just broken open with more and more and more love. There was a Harvard philosophy professor named George Santayana who had such a moment. He was in the middle of his lecture. He was in the middle of a sentence, and he looked out the windows, and he saw these gorgeous yellow blooming forsythia. And he couldn't help but just keep looking at them, and he stopped for several seconds. And then he said, "Gentlemen, that sentence that I just last spoke will never be completed because I've decided I have an appointment with April." And he left the room never to lecture regularly again. You see, that professor needed those yellow forsythia just as much as we need to breathe the breath of life that God gives us. We are liberated, we are freed by God's presence in the snowflakes and the hail and the bright blue sky, in the birth of a child, in a loving relationship. We are liberated by all of those things. Not in the same way as when Christ died on the cross, but sensing God's very presence with us. Even Martin Luther said, "The resurrection is written clearly in the flowers of spring, just as it is in many books." I want to tell you one thing. I promise you that the Creation Care team did not intentionally schedule our Creation Care weekend on the People's Climate Marches weekend. We're not trying to make a political statement, but what we are trying to do is help us connect faith and life and creation, because we as Christians have something to do with God's creation, right? We need to go back to that command that God gave us in the garden. You will have dominion over the earth. You will have dominion over the earth. And so I have this to say about that. Cleopas and his friend were walking. They weren't driving their cars. They weren't adding anything to the ozone layer. They were just walking. Good for them. They were talking. A good thing to do when we are confused or torn apart by differences of opinion. They were listening to a very reliable source, God himself. And it took time for their eyes to be opened to what God would have them know. So if the capital Word of God, capital W, Word of God, still speaks life and wholeness, we as Christians have responsibility for our creation. God's created word in Jesus Christ tells us how to care for creation. In Leviticus, we read, "Till the land for 7 years, let it rest for one. Leave part of the harvest so that the poor can come in and gather crop and food for themselves. This is how you care for the widow, the orphan, the child in need. This is how you care for those who have food and those who don't have food." The Bible gives us as Christians, through a faith lens, very concrete things to do about caring for creation. And if our landfills are filling up, we need to be more responsible. If our water is at risk, we need to consider taking shorter showers. If our species are about to die out, what is our part in that? The living word speaks to us and tells us that we too are to care for God's creation, to have our hearts broken open for this world that we get to live in. So if the living word was broken open in just a loaf of bread, it was just a loaf of bread. No, it wasn't just a loaf. They knew it, they saw it, and we pray that we will do the same. Amen.